Hey, Jeff.
Yo, what's up?
It's been a while since we did a patron hangout.
Yeah, and you know what? A lot of people are talking about how the fact that we keep doing them in the afternoon and they can't join it.
Okay, well, let's do this. Let's have our patron video hangout where people can hang out with us on camera, ask us anything they like, just generally hang out and have a good time, have a beer. Wednesday, December 17th, 9 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern.
Just off the top of your head?
Just off the top of my head, I thought
we could
do that.
Let me check my calendar, and oh my god, I'm free!
Who knew?
It works out well.
God, that was horrible. But listen, if you want to be in on this thing, patreon.com/wehaveconcerns. You can find all the details there. We have concerns. Hi, Jeff Cannata.
Hi, Anthony Carboni.
Hello, concerned citizens.
The smallest thing you can think of in the world.
I put a marble up my nose when I was 7 years old.
Did you really?
No. But my sister put a marble up her nose when she was 4 years old.
You were co-opting your sister's story for the purposes of comedy?
I was going to make myself look like the idiot, but I think like she can survive this. She was 4 years old, and she took the tiniest little marble and put it up her nose.
Are there tinier marbles than normal marbles? Because I think a normal marble is pretty big in comparison to a nose
hole. It was actually smaller than a regular marble, but it wasn't super tiny. Her nostrils were. And she just like...
Why did she do this?
She was a really adventurous kid. Out of the two of us, she's the adventurous one. Like, she's lived all over the world.
Is that
she's
adventure?
A traveler.
Is putting stuff up your nose an adventure?
We had a pool in the backyard. She was 2 years old, 3 years old, just learned to walk, and would just throw herself into the pool. Just to see what it was about because other people were in the pool.
I think that's adventurous. Not so sure about the marble up the nose.
Well, she just wanted to know. She's like, what happens? So she just pushed
I don't remember seeing Indiana Jones and the marble up the nose.
Well, you didn't see Indiana Jones's 4. Even in young Indiana Jones, they didn't go back that far. You know, but he was probably a marble nose kid.
Okay. Because that's adventure.
That's adventure when you're 4.
All right.
You're not very ambulatory. So you have to just sort of... So she shoved it up her nose. It got
that's
stuck.
Terrifying to me. Yeah, the stuck part's scary.
Super stuck. They had to go to the emergency room.
Oh, God.
And the crazy thing was the doctor apparently told my mother, we have two ways to get this out. We have a vacuum, and then we just have to slice her nostril.
Really?
Like at the point where her outer nostril touches her cheek, you slice along the seam.
Oh, my God.
Open the nostril like a flap.
Oh, dear God, no.
And remove the marble. Because that's minimal scarring, right? Like, it's just along the seam of where your nose meets your smile lines. So they actually wound up being able to get it out. And so, she never stuck anything up her nose again. But it was
after
a pretty harrowing
surgery,
experience.
Did the doctor come out and say she lost her marbles?
You're such a son of a bitch. That's the shittiest. That's it. We're 2 minutes and 22 seconds in, and that's it. You have no more dad jokes.
Guess what? There are smaller things in the world than marbles.
The hell you say?
In fact, we got this story sent in to us by Joe Steiner.
Thank you, Joe.
wehaveconcernsshow@gmail.com. And it's about measuring things on the very smallest scale.
This is the Planck unit.
The Planck unit, which you had heard of, I had never even heard of it before, the Planck constant is basically the basis for quantum physics.
Yeah.
It is what defines what quantum is. It's the smallest measurable thing. So before quantum physics.
So like 10 times smaller than a marble.
It's a little bit smaller than that.
20 times smaller than the smallest marble.
the actual number is 1.6 times 10 to the negative 35 meters.
That's pretty small.
That's not just pretty small. It's freaking small.
It's the smallest.
The idea is that if you had something that was as small as a Planck constant, there are more of them, if you lined them up end to end, there are more of them in the span of a grain of sand than there are grains of sand in the observable universe.
Whoa. Dude. What if we're just a Planck unit? Like our whole universe is just a Planck constant inside a grain of sand with a million other... That was my freshman year of college.
Yeah.
That was physics, and that's what happened.
So that's exactly the article that was sent to us. This is an article in Wired talking about the idea that they're trying to measure... If there is something that is the smallest thing...
Yeah.
If there's a smallest unit of measure, and it's not just, oh, hey, you can always divide something in half, however long that is, you can just keep taking half that length. If there really is a limit to that, then theoretically, you could zoom in to a level where you could see that and it would look kind of like a pixelated image on your computer. Like, if there's a smallest thing, then you should be able to see the smallest thing, or at least measure the fact that there's distance between the two smallest things.
Well, that's where the word atom comes from.
Right.
So, in Greek, atom is like the smallest unit. It can't be divided, is right. what they thought. And then we named something atom, and then we were like, psych! It can be divided. We were wrong. Which is why I think I see where you're going with this. But keep going.
So there's this place called
Concerns.
There's this place called the Fermi Lab, and they're building something called a holometer to try to figure out if they can measure and see
all the foil comic book covers in the 90s and their value.
Kind of. Okay. It's more a hologram in the sense of, dude, what if we're a hologram? What if we are just a 2D universe that's being projected in 3D because of time, and you can, because everything can be broken down to the smallest unit of measure, we can actually see that and measure it because of the vibrations between stuff at a very quantum level.
So this gets into the territory of like Flatland. Have you ever read Flatland?
I have not.
Flatland is basically, there is a 2D square, or is it a triangle? I forget, it's been so long. But there's a triangle that lives in a two-dimensional universe that meets a sphere that is a traveler from a three-dimensional universe. It was basically this mathematician wrote this fantasy story to explain how dimensions work and how a dimension would look. So like, if you're in a 2D universe, you can't see that that sphere is a sphere. It only looks like a circle.
Right.
But there are ways to do math and to look at it where you can figure out that there is a third dimension. There's a whole thing about how you perceive the fourth dimension. How would a fourth dimensional
creature
being
yeah.
see a fifth dimensional being? So my thing about this is, I think it's really fun to think about it, and it's always fun to think about limits. But my question is, back when we thought the atom was the smallest thing.
Right.
Back when we thought, I don't know, that there were no other continents. We've always pushed up against our limits.
Yes.
To say that, well, the Planck is the smallest thing. Like, is it though? Like, how sure are we of that? Is that just the limit of our knowledge right now?
Well,
or is that legitimately, because we're getting into stuff that I just can't wrap my head around,
oh,
right?
Oh, me neither. I mean, before we started recording, I looked up the Wikipedia entry for the Planck constant, and about
that's a problem.
Four sentences in, I was like, brain not worky, podcast about jokes.
Meep, meep, meep.
So I'm not exactly sure. It's math, and it does seem to be supported by Einstein's theory of relativity, and it is the basis upon which quantum physics has been established. So there's a lot of people who believe in the Planck constant, right?
Sure.
So the idea here, I think, is that they're testing to see if it can be observed, if we can observe a smallest unit of measure in the perceivable space-time universe, right?
Yeah. So that's cool, and I love it. What do we get out of knowing that?
Well, here's
Is the practice? I mean, and like, look, I'm not being somebody who's like, who cares? That's dumb. I just want to know, genuinely. So what do we get when we prove that, if we prove that?
So here is your freshman year of college sentence.
Hold on a second.
Yep.
This is just coffee. I'm acting cooler than I am. I'm not that cool.
All right, here we go. Ready? So here's the sentence. It is conjectured that space is two-dimensional and the third dimension is inextricably linked with time. If so, our three-dimensional world is a kind of approximate illusion that emerges only on scales much larger than the Planck length. So that's what they're trying to determine. That if my brain kind of breaks, but that's the crazy thing, is that they're trying to find out if we're an illusion. If we're living in a hologram, the third dimension is fake.
So, like, are we in somebody's Google Glass? Are we in somebody's Oculus Rift?
Yeah, it says, it could be that the illusion is imperfect and blurry. The maximum frequency may introduce a particular kind of noise or jitter into space-time.
Oh, I saw this, and they were like, they were looking into the farthest corners of space for like specific types of radiation and specific types of things that would be like basically the distortion at the edge of a lens or the weird breakup at the edge of some sort of projector. Like, where's the distortion that proves that we're hitting the edge of this thing? There was also something where they were checking to see if there were bits where we were running out of RAM in the universe, basically. Where, like, if you went to the edge, like, if there's some sort of simulation, if the universe is a simulation, I think it was a French lab as well, was kind of poking around at different parts of space.
Looking for the blue screen of death at the edge of the universe.
Looking for the texture popping, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I was looking for, like, when you're playing a BioWare game and you are in the marketplace and it's like empty, but then all of a sudden, nope, don't worry. All of a sudden, 50 people pop in.
It's the universe's Unreal Engine.
Yes.
Is what they're trying exactly. to determine.
If you turn off ambient occlusion, the universe goes on for so much longer, but it's a little less impressive.
Yeah. Hey, Darla, I think we should break up.
Oh, this is a shock.
No, it's been going great. Our relationship has been going fantastic. I love you very much. But
is there something, I mean, is there some sort of incompatibility? Is there something I did?
Well, it's not so much you as it is the fact that I don't know if you're a hologram or not.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, on a base reality level, I can't answer that question.
Right, exactly. Neither can I, neither can anyone.
I don't feel like a hologram, but I'm sure neither...
You look like a hologram.
Thank you. I really try very hard.
But how can I be sure?
Yeah.
I've poked you, I've prodded you.
But you know, this is sort of unfair. I am willing to assume that you're not a hologram.
Well, that's very generous of you, but it's also exactly what a hologram would say.
Bzzzt, bzzzt.
Ah! Honey...
I'm sorry, I held in a sneeze. Is all that was.
But it...
I'm coming down with something. I don't want to get germs on you. I'm trying not to cry.
Just for a split second, no. You looked two-dimensional, and I'm pretty sure the edge of you kind of just popped into view and popped out of view.
No, listen. Obviously, all this quantum physics stuff has got you really worked up. Let's just go on a trip. Just you and me. Maybe if we just got away from...
Got away from what, Darla? Darla?
I played this city like a harp from hell. Like a harp from hell. Like a... Kids, ask your parents what Batman Returns is.
Good reference, though.
What do you think about this stuff? Like, obviously, we are drawn to articles like this.
Yeah.
Things like this freak us out. We like having our minds blown this way.
Right.
What blows your mind about this? What wigs you out about it?
Well, it kind of doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know?
Right?
Because, like, if everything is at a fundamental level defined in one way or defined in another way, it doesn't really matter because it's still what I perceive is what I perceive and that is my reality. But on another level, it's like, well, it's the blue pill or the red pill. Like, are we living inside the Matrix and are we happy to live inside the Matrix?
But at the same time, it's not that simple, right? That's the way we think about it is like, oh, the Matrix, the 13th floor. You should really think more about the 13th floor. old Twilight Zone stuff. What happens if we're all living in a dollhouse? Well, day to day, it doesn't matter, except for at the end of the episode of the Twilight Zone with the dollhouse, the kid reaches in and takes the dolls out.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what's freaky. Everybody's like, well, if we do live in a computer simulation, what happens when the simulation turns off? And people tend to freak out about stuff like that.
Doesn't it also come down to the idea of this inherent desire in ourselves to not be deluding ourselves, to not have been had?
But we're not. It's like
that's
said.
Not what is really going on.
Doesn't matter.
Because most of the people in the Matrix are pretty happy people.
That's the whole point of the Matrix.
Right. But the narrative of the Matrix says you better freaking decide because you're just a pawn. You're living a lie is really the message, right? And if we're living this lie of three dimensions, is there not something beneficial
to... It's not a lie.
No?
It's not a lie. Whether we are
a hologram.
Whether we are a hologram, whether we are a cosmic projection, whether we are a simulation, you live, you die, you do your shit.
Right?
Like, it doesn't really matter. Like, people like to freak out about this stuff and have their minds blown, but I'm just kind of like, so what does it change for you? What does it change for you if you know that the third dimension is a projection? Number one, I don't fully understand what that means.
Right.
We can read that article. I still don't get what that means. I could sit and have a physicist very patiently explain it to me like I was a dumb baby, because I am. I still, like, wouldn't know entirely what it means. Even if you could grasp it, we've talked about this before. The people who know the most about stuff like this tend to freak out about it the least.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what
true.
I mean?
That's true. But it's like that scene in Annie Hall.
Because they're just
kind
of like, so what? It functionally doesn't make any difference for you.
But it's like that scene in Annie Hall, right, with Alvy Singer, and she's like, he won't do his homework. She's like, why won't you do your homework? The universe is expanding. What's the point? You know, it's the kind
Brooklyn
of thing-
isn't expanding!
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So what, man?
I mean, I guess when you get right down to it,
you can worry about stuff on a cosmic scale if you want. You can worry about the fact that things are spiraling outwards and will probably eventually collapse inwards on itself in billions of years. You won't fucking be there.
Right.
You'll be long gone. Like, none of this stuff matters.
But what if, okay, hypothetical, these guys do this experiment, they find definitive proof
yeah.
that we aren't three-dimensional, that we are a projection.
Well, what everything they are, I was going to say, is the third dimension is a projection, right?
Right.
So it's not going to wind up, you are not three-dimensional. They're going to say, the third dimension is a projection. And then a bunch of pedants on YouTube, anytime you say 3D, are going to be like, well, actually, you know, the third dimension is just a projection. It's not really a dimension.
You're saying this entire line of research is just for hipsters to be able to seem important and
superior. It's not really a dimension, though. Like, if you've ever read, I guess, you would know that. Yeah. Fuck off. Fuck off. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter to anybody except people who want to be pedantic and people who want to have existential crises.
It's the dimension police.
I'm down for having a good existential crisis. I like to have one or two of them a week. Right. I like to freak myself out in the shower. That's my favorite game. You ever play that game?
Yeah.
Where you get in the shower and you're just like, let's see if I could freak myself out.
How did you do it this week?
Oh, sometimes I just think about death.
Mm-hmm.
And just the inevitable nothingness of death.
Yeah.
That's fun, because if you really like force yourself to drill down into it, that never stops being freaky.
It's very true, and it's hard to wrap your head around the absence of you.
Yeah, it's fun. And by fun, I mean it's terrifying.
Yeah.
But I like to do it for like 5 minutes twice a week in the shower. That's a game I like to play.
And then when you dry off, you just let it go.
It's gone! It's just gone! It's left in the shower. You're just bathing in warm water and the sense of your own nothingness.
Your emptiness just swirls down the drain.
Yeah, you put a little hair product in, you go out, you set your day off. Well, you know, it's whatever.
It's like a Pert commercial.
It really is.
You ever start your day with existential angst?
Like a two-in-one.
Yeah.
It's like a two-in-one shampoo and crisis causer.
He's like, this side of my head is tingling. That's how I know I exist.
This side of my head wants me to pull a bullet in my skull. Because nothing matters.
Yeah.
I think both sides look great.
Be sure to leave all your self-loathing and fear and dread in the shower when you get out. Start your day off right.
Because you know what? If you do it in the shower, like honestly, if you do it in the shower, it's it stops it from popping up at random times.
Is that so? You compartmentalize it.
You can.
Yeah.
Because if you allow yourself to do it, it doesn't come up during times of the day when it shouldn't happen.
Is it just the being alone in the shower, or is there some aspect of sort of water hitting you, being naked, any of that?
Without getting too deep into this.
Let's get deep into it.
The reason it happens in the shower is because the first time I ever really thought about, really wrapped my head around what it meant if there was no afterlife, I was 14 years old and in the shower.
Masturbating.
And in the middle of masturbating, I thought, what if there's no heaven or hell? And then I was like, well, let's circle back to that. I finished. And then I allowed myself to have the freak out. But I had a pretty major meltdown in the shower over it.
Really? This is a real story? You remember this moment.
Minus the masturbation.
Right.
Right. Well, no, I remember this moment. It was the first time it ever happened. I was in my house in Altamont Springs. We had just moved into a new house, and I had just started high school.
Was there anything that triggered it?
Nope.
No.
I think I was just thinking about it for whatever reason.
For the first time?
Yeah, well, I had always thought about it. I'd always thought about, like, yeah, what if there's no heaven or hell? That's pretty weird.
Were you raised with real heaven and
not
hell?
Not super religious. I mean, in Judaism, there really isn't a hell.
Right. It's now, right?
Yeah. We're basically just living it.
Yeah.
Which, if you watch any Jewish comedians, you right. can see it.
Yeah.
You can see it. It's basically like there is no hell, but I was like, well, what if there isn't a heaven? And I always thought that. But the first time I was ever like, no, what if there really isn't one? Forced myself to think about it and conceptualize that. And I remember the whole train of thought where it was like, well, it'll be like sleeping. Well, it won't really be like sleeping.
Right.
Because you don't ever get to wake up.
You're absolutely right,
Hamlet. And like, yeah. And it's just kind of like, yeah. But when I was 14, this was like some mind-blowing shit.
Yeah.
You know, and I took like the usual path down into there. I wound up just crying in the shower.
What are you doing in there, Anthony?
Nothing, Mom. I'll be out in a second. There's nothing. Don't come in.
I'm coming in.
No, don't come in.
Oh, God. Are you okay?
Don't look at me. I can't believe you caught me doing this.
It's okay. It's natural.
No, you can't. My mother can't see me thinking about existence.
But every boy does it. At a certain point, you reach a certain age.
Oh,
and you realize,
God, Mom, no, you're not helping. You're not helping.
Your father did it.
Oh, I don't want to hear about Dad doing it. That's disgusting.
How do you think you came into the world? The two of us got together and we thought we have to prolong our lineage.
Oh, God, get out. Get out.
It's our only key to immortality.
Shut the door. Yeah. I mean, so that's basically what it happened. So I think now I reserve the shower for all existential crises.
Wow.
And I take really long showers. Like, I've always taken really long showers, and I think people are always like, what are you doing in the shower? But it's more just like,
you know, working through some stuff.
Yeah, it's more just like where all the weird shit comes out.
I like to take really long showers mostly because it feels so nice, just the nice warm water.
It is a nice counterbalance to the darkness.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Just like the sensation on my skin.
So yeah, I don't particularly care whether we are a hologram. It would be neat to know, but I don't know. I think people get excited about it for reasons that don't really matter.
Yeah. I don't like coming down on the side of eh, but...
And I'm not eh. This is cool. Anything we can find out about the fundamental nature of reality, even if we don't find out that we are a hologram, if we find out that the Planck constant is not the smallest thing, that's an even huger thing to me.
Yeah.
That's a legit huge thing because it's like, yes, now we're smart enough to drill down even deeper. Right. And that's when shit gets cool. But I'm not like, matrix, projection. It doesn't matter. It doesn't fucking matter. How do you guys feel about this? Let us know. We are on Twitter. I'm at A Carboni.
And I'm at Jeff Cannata.
And hey, if you see a story like this, who's sent this one in?
This was Joe Steiner.
Joe Steiner, thank you. If you've seen a story like this and you want to send it in to us, we have concernshow@gmail.com is the place to do it. Also, hey, we could use your reviews either on Stitcher or iTunes. The link to do that is in the description. Please, what we'd like you to do is give us 5 stars, and then instead of reviewing the show in the review, review the first time you ever thought about the finite nature of living.
And if it was because you listen to this show, we apologize.
Yeah, we're so sorry. Oh my God, what if we did that to somebody? Oh, that's the worst.